Hi, this is Ruth McCauley with news from the Decatur area for Thursday, December 3rd. I'm going to begin with a couple of articles that appear on the front page of the Herald and Review. We're not going to talk about the incident in California unless we have some sort of local connection, because I'm sure you've all heard about it and have seen that on television or heard some other broadcast. So we'll go to news important to us. This from Springfield, written by Bureau Chief Kurt Erickson. House adds patch to state budget. Illinois lawmakers put another patch on the state's stopgap spending plan Wednesday, approving a package that will funnel more than $3 billion in special funds to help communities pay for snow removal and keep 911 telephone systems from closing. On a 107-1 vote, Democrats and Republicans joined together to silence angry mayors and county officials whose communities had not received their share of motor fuel tax dollars, which finance road salt purchases and snow removal. The measure now heads to the Senate, which is expected to convene next week. Governor Bruce Rauner supports the measure. State Representative Ed Sullivan, a Republican of Mundelein, cast the lone no vote. The legislation provides $1 billion to the Illinois State Lottery, which had been unable to pay winners of jackpots of more than $600 because of the failure of Rauner and Democrats who control the General Assembly to agree on a budget for the fiscal year that began July 1st. Other programs on tap for money include the state's low-income heating assistance program, which will provide $165 million to help poor people pay their utility bills. The winter heating season is now upon us, said House Majority Leader Barbara Flynn Curry, a Democrat of Chicago who sponsored the measure. Another $22 million will go to the Illinois State Police to pay for the operation of its crime laboratories. Although court orders and agreements between Rauner and lawmakers have kept some state services afloat during the record-breaking impasse, the lack of a spending blueprint had left some programs without any state aid for nearly 6 months. Wednesday's action came a day after Rauner and the legislative leaders met for the first time since May, to discuss the budget stalemate. No progress was reported. Democrats are balking at Rauner's demand that they approve measures that weaken labor unions as a way to reduce costs for local governments. Rauner said he's committed to waiting on Democrats to come around to his way of thinking. We'll take short-term pain for big long-term gain, the governor said. While the latest budget fix may be helping keep some programs from shutting down, it provides no money for Illinois universities, rape crisis centers, and some community mental health programs. Those things haven't been funded at all, Curie said. Republicans and Democrats complained about the latest attempt at piecemeal budgeting. I just don't think this is the right way to run a railroad, said State Representative David Harris, a Republican from Arlington Heights. We are in great peril. I think it's time we stop playing political games, said State Representative Jack Franks, a McHenry County Democrat. We're simply delaying the hard choices. Curry shrugged off the criticism. A piecemeal approach is better than no approach at all, Curry said. The measure includes money for a laundry list of state programs, including $2.6 million to help the Secretary of State pay for the state's immigrant driver's license program, $20 million to keep state and local tourism efforts afloat, and more than $43 million for special programs at Illinois community colleges. Cities and counties will get their share of motor fuel taxes, video gambling proceeds, and taxes from casinos. The measure provides $31 million for the state to pay for salt and other snow removal efforts. Emergency telephone providers will receive $77.1 million to continue offering 911 services. Some providers had begun tapping into dollars set aside for construction projects to pay salaries of workers. "I'm glad we're going this far," said State Representative Don Moffat, a Republican of Gilson. While much of the money earmarked for programs comes from special funds that aren't part of the state's general checkbook, the measure does funnel $28 million in general funds for a variety of programs in the Illinois Secretary of State's office. After the vote, Rauner told reporters he would not be surprised if no overall budget plan emerges for several more months. Whoa. The legislation is Senate Bill 2039. Our next article comes from Decatur and was written by Allison Petty. Park District considers event fees. The number of walking and running events in Decatur parks has increased dramatically in recent years. Now, the Decatur Park District is looking to standardize how it charges the organizers of those events, some of whom have not paid for park closures and park district staff time. Others have given money to park district programs as a form of compensation or have paid to rent a pavilion, but not contributed extra for labor and road closures, officials said. Over the years, we've just seen a variety of different situations and a variety of different fees, Park District Executive Director Bill Clevenger said. What we're trying to do now is create a more standard approach to it, particularly since all these new events have emerged over the past several years. Park District staff members presented the matter to the Board of Commissioners Wednesday for consideration, but said a specific proposal would come for a vote in the coming weeks. Several commissioners asked about the possibility of grandfathering long-standing events or staggering the fee over several years. Clevenger said district staff would seek input from the event organizers. Director of Operations Brian Raleigh said the district would look to develop a pricing structure that included larger, medium, and smaller events. Clearing benches out of the large pavilion in Fairview Park and closing off roads can cost hundreds of dollars in manpower, while simply cleaning pavilions for use is much less expensive, he said. Clevenger said the district was looking to recoup its direct costs, not to create a new revenue stream. This is certainly not aimed to generate a profit, he said. Park Board Vice President Bob Brilley II said the district needs to create a situation that benefits both the organizations holding the fundraisers in the park and the park district that must support those events. I'd like to see the parks used as much as possible. That's what we're here for, he said. But also, we can't lose money by using the parks. Our next article is also written by Chris Lisvardi, who's an H&R staff writer. Richland Class Creates New Possibilities for Students. Kevin Bagley of Decatur started the game content creation class at Richland Community College with a background in art. By taking the graphic arts class, Bagley is hoping to enhance his understanding for creating art and taking it from two dimensions into three dimensions. Bagley and other students in the class are using the program ZBrush to lead them into new career possibilities. It's a good idea to understand the software, Bagley said. You've got to know art. It's another tool to achieve the results we're looking for. A background in two-dimensional art has helped understand what needs to be done, Bagley said. The tools in the computer program mimic what a traditional artist would use, he said. It's hard to bring it all together, Bagley said. It takes time and observation. Students such as Grant Fritz of Mount Zion come into the class with an interest in playing video games and try to build their skills by learning how the games are created. Fritsch is starting with what he said is the simple shape of a toy dinosaur as he learns the program. It's very important to have a model, Fritsch said. As the students advance through the class, they will learn how to animate their design using the Maya program and start to tell stories. Blake Lenardi of Decatur is using RoboCop as a model, having never seen the movie. He became interested in video games by playing Call of Duty. Lenardi is interested in the storytelling aspect of creating video games, but he said it will be important to understand what designers can do. He started by using three of the tools available in the program, but knows designers will be doing more with so many options available. They're going to be using all of it, Lenardi said. It's a great class to start. Designing has gone beyond simply creating an object on a computer screen for entertainment purposes, instructor Ryan Rocha said. Designers use the program to create objects that can be printed using a 3D printer, Rocha added. When you design on ZBrush, it's just like digging into clay, Rocha said. You can get different looks with various materials. It's part of why ZBrush has become popular. Richland has a 3D printer in its computer-aided design, or CAD, lab. Students have used the printer for projects ranging from a working wrench to objects with logos and working electronics, said Bill Mertel, a drafting and design engineer instructor. We do a lot of 3D, Mertel said. We can make it look real and do it all on a computer screen. Students in CAD classes can take what they're interested in to design projects and in the process build their job skills, Mertel said. They can be a major asset to their company, Mertel added. The ZBrush program can be used in various applications, including fashion and vehicle design, Rocha said. He said changes can be quickly made rather than wasting materials making new prototypes. In addition to introducing students to video game creation, Rocha said Richland offers an advanced game content creation class, something Hattie Vole of Forsyth is interested in as she works on sculpting part of a human body. In the past, Vole has made animal objects, including an owl. If you can visualize it, you can pretty much make it on here, Vole said. I can work on it for quite a while and not get bored. It's a lot of problem solving. The class is meeting Tuesday and Thursday evenings this semester and is scheduled to meet at the same time in the spring. We turn now inside to the local section of the Decatur Herald and Review. This article written by Ryan Voiles, an H&R staff writer. Decatur Township sets policy on public aid burials. With the lack of state reimbursement, Decatur Township will look to absorb the additional costs of public aid burials. The Decatur Township Board of Trustees unanimously approved a plan at its meeting Wednesday night that would charge those who purchase a lot and burial at Greenwood Cemetery. If the interment occurs on a weekday before 3 p.m., the cost will be $550. Interments on weekends, holidays, or after 3 p.m. on weekdays will cost $700. The cost will cover only the plot of land for burial, and the township will absorb the cost for the burial, which is about $550. It was one of three proposals that Cemetery Director Lynn Dixon presented to the board as he looked for guidance with the state no longer reimbursing local cemeteries for public aid burials. I just wanted to put these proposals in front of the board and see what they thought was best, he said. The other two proposals would have either had the township absorb all the costs for public aid burials or have the purchaser find a way to cover the entire $1,100 cost of plot and burial. Trustees said they could understand the struggle some families might have financing a burial, but felt it was best that they pay something toward the overall cost. The state announced this spring that it would no longer reimburse local cemeteries for public aid burials, which provided $550 per burial. If the state does reimburse the township, Lynn said the money would be deposited into the Decatur Township Cemetery Fund. The board also spent Wednesday night reiterating the chain of command for all township employees. Trustee Amy Roof and others said they felt there had been some confusion recently about who controlled which agencies. Township Attorney Jeff Jergen said that the township supervisor has authority over the General Assistance Office and the township board has control over township employees. There was some talk before the meeting that the discussion could turn heated, but the conversation remained civil and no action was taken to establish a chain of command. The township board is scheduled to vote on the budget property tax levy at a special meeting December 16th. The board also voted unanimously November 4th on a tentative plan that would keep the tax levy rate at 35 cents per $100 equalized assessed valuation, or just less than $1.69 million for the fiscal year that begins April 1st. Our next article was written by Valerie Wells, an H&R staff writer. Johns Hill students think of others through Mission Give Back. Brooke Swinford and Kennedy Hansborough spent part of Wednesday writing thank you letters to their fifth grade teacher, Billy Hall. She's funny and nice and just an excellent teacher, said Kennedy, now in sixth grade. Brooke created a construction paper card for Hall made of several pages because she wants hers to be creative and different, more than just a note, she said. Johns Hill Magnet School students are engaged in Mission Give Back this month, a project to encourage the students to think of others and do nice things for them, said middle school science teacher Liz Bartimus. At first, her idea was to do it only with her own students during the midday enrichment period, but when she mentioned it to the other teachers, they reminded her that the positive behavioral interventions and supports theme for December is caring and kindness. The project will continue throughout December with daily suggestions for activities posted in Bartimus's classroom that include making cards for people in the military, get well cards for kids in the hospital, cleaning up classrooms, or helping another student without being asked, or bringing in toys or food for the needy, and warm hats, gloves, and socks to give to the homeless. Teachers have yellow tickets to give out to students whom they see doing these things or anything that qualifies as a kindness to someone else. We want them to understand that even though you're a student, there's something you can do for other people, Bartimus said. We want them to care about other people. Growing up, there was always a stranger in our house for Sunday dinner and holiday meals because my mom and dad just wanted to help somebody out, and that was their way to do it. There are four things that the Johns Hill students always have, Bartimus said. Shelter, food, clothing, and people who care about them. But there are people in the community who lack one or more of those things, and Mission Give Back is a way to remind the students to be grateful for what they have and mindful of doing what they can for others. Middle school is a time when students are sometimes self-centered and heedless of others, she said, but a little nudge can turn their attention outward. It's nice to give things to people who don't have a lot, said 8th grader Ramaya Bates, working on cards with classmate Sabri Strong. Turning now to courts and crime, we have an article written by Huey Freeman, H&R staff writer, Man Jailed in Strangling Battering of Woman. Troy A. Krueger, a 34-year-old Decatur man, was arraigned Wednesday on five criminal counts for strangling and striking a woman and breaking glass door in her Southeast Side home. In the early morning of Thanksgiving Day, Krueger and the victim went to the residence after drinking in a bar. During the course of an argument, quote, Troy slapped the victim across her face with an open hand, end quote, said a probable cause affidavit by Decatur Patrol Officer Ryan Strebbing. He, quote, also picked up a trophy-like object and threw the object into a glass sliding door, causing it to shatter, end quote. When the victim picked up the phone to call 911, Krueger unplugged it. She fled to a bathroom. He caught up with her and slapped her again, she told police. Troy then grabbed the victim by her throat with his right hand and strangled her, intentionally impeding her breathing, Strebbing wrote in his statement. She ran to the basement to try again to call for help. He slapped the phone from her hand, struck her again, and grabbed her by the throat, again intentionally impeding her breathing. She ran from the house to a neighbor's home. An officer observed the left side of the victim's face appeared to be swollen. There was also bruising and redness on her neck and behind her ear. Krueger, who drove away when the victim ran from the house, returned to speak with police. He said the victim slapped him and spat on him, the affidavit said. Krueger explained to police that he grabbed the victim's throat to demonstrate how he was attacked by another individual earlier in the night, and he might have grabbed her a little harder than he should have. The damage to the glass door was estimated at more than $1,000. Krueger was booked into the Macon County Jail, where he is being held on $75,000 bond. He is facing charges of aggravated domestic battery, criminal damage to property, domestic battery, interfering with reporting of domestic battery, and aggravated battery. He is due in court to present his attorney on Wednesday. I'm assuming that's next Wednesday. Huey Freeman also reports on another domestic battery incident. Man back in jail after domestic battery incident. Christopher March, a 43-year-old Decatur man who was convicted of domestic battery in October, is back in jail after he allegedly strangled and placed a pillow over the face of the same victim. Oh, dear. March was arrested November 23rd in connection with the incident, which occurred in the woman's Northside apartment 3 days earlier. He is being held in jail on $30,000 bond. He was arraigned Monday on 4 felony counts, 2 of aggravated domestic battery, 1 of domestic battery with a prior conviction, 1 of unlawful restraint, as well as a misdemeanor count of interfering with reporting of domestic violence. During an argument the evening of November 20th, March allegedly pushed the female victim in her 40s onto her bed and sat on her chest. Excuse me. March placed his knees on both of her arms and pinned her to the bed with his body weight, said a probable cause affidavit by Decatur Patrol Officer Timothy Wisniewski. As he held her down, he squeezed the victim's neck with his right hand while she screamed for help. March placed a pillow over the victim's face and held it there for several seconds to muffle her screams, Wisniewski wrote in his statement. The victim told police that March threatened to kill her if she called police. Injuries seen by officers included bruises and scrapes above the victim's elbow, consistent with someone grabbing the arm and digging their fingernails into the skin. Bruising to the victim's hand and wrist, consistent with being grabbed tightly, and bruising inside a bicep, consistent with her statement. In his prior domestic battery case, the victim was at his downtown apartment about 2:30 a.m. September 23rd when the couple became involved in a dispute. She was getting ready to leave when she heard a breaking noise, said a police affidavit. When she went to investigate, she saw her main cell phone was broken on the floor. She told police she then demanded her other phone, which was on a bedroom windowsill. When she climbed onto the bed to retrieve her phone, March grabbed her by her left arm and pulled her off the bed and onto the floor, the affidavit said. When the woman said she wouldn't leave until she had her phone, Marge grabbed it, threw it to the floor, breaking it into pieces. She tried to pick up the pieces. He grabbed her by the head, pushed her back to the floor, then hit her head against the floor multiple times. He pleaded guilty October 1st to domestic battery and was sentenced to 4 days in jail. March is due in circuit court December 16th for a preliminary hearing in his most recent case. Let's pick up some of the brief items that appear. This from Oakley. One dies in accident. An 18-year-old La Place resident was pronounced dead at the scene Wednesday morning after the Jeep he was driving was involved in a near head-on collision with a semi-truck on Illinois 105 between Oakley and Prairie View Roads. The victim's name is being withheld pending notification of family members. A 20-year-old passenger in the Jeep, also a La Place resident, was transported to HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, where he was listed in critical condition following surgery, according to a Macon County Sheriff's Office news release. The truck driver was not injured. The accident occurred at 8:36 a.m. Wednesday. Illinois 105 was closed until about 2 p.m. as the Sheriff's Office investigated. Personnel from Long Creek Fire, Mount Zion Fire, and Decatur Fire Departments also responded to the accident. Weather was not a factor in the accident, according to the Sheriff's Office. Coroner Michael E. Day pronounced the victim dead at the scene from generalized trauma to the body. A routine toxicology inquiry and an inquest will be scheduled. Okay, the east side of the 800 block of South Main Street will be closed until 4 o'clock today to allow Ameren, Illinois to replace a pole. The closure was extended from Wednesday because of inclement weather. Yeah, it was kind of nasty yesterday. Santa Claus suit rental. This holiday season, let the Decatur Park District help you celebrate with a rented Santa suit. The traditional Christmas costume comes with a jacket, pants, hat, belt, and boot covers, and rents for $25 per day. Santa beard or wig combinations are available for purchase for $15. To reserve a suit or purchase a beard wig set, call the Park District at 217-422-5911. I think we got time. Richland Community College's Division of Continuing and Professional Education will stage the Nutcracker Ballet at Schilling Auditorium Friday through Sunday, December 4th to 6th. The production, directed for the 20th year by Nancy McReynolds, has a large cast made up of students in the Richland Dance Program and members of the community. Performances will be held at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 2:30 p.m. Sunday. Tickets are $15 with wheelchair accessibility and seating available. Gotta look into that. Time's running out. That's tomorrow through Sunday. So get cracking there. Oops, sorry for the Nutcracker Ballet. Okay, that we're out of time in our first half hour of news from the Decatur area for Thursday, December 3rd. Hang tight, we'll be right back right after this break.